Welcome to episode 116 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Today, I'm going to announce the winners of the fire assignment and set the stage for the next assignment that starts from this day. Also, I'm going to talk just a little about the sponsorship by DxO Labs, who I've teamed up with to get a free copy of their DxO Optics Pro and film pack. And that's Optics Pro version 5, by the way, the new one. And that's going to be the prize for the assignment winner at the end of the assignment that we kick off today. But the one that has the most accumulated votes since we did that, like the yearly prize earlier in 2007. So stay tuned for that. So let's get right down to it and find out who was voted as the top three images in the fire assignment. As usual, we'll do this in reverse order, and remember that if you usually jump to the images by entering the number, members' images start with an M for member. The first one we're going to look at is the third place winner. This is TV Photo, real name Jason Vadnehis, and please let me know if I've just butchered your name, Jason. And the image is Flaming Apple, which is M7010. This is a beautiful capture. It's Jason has basically, looks like he's polished an apple and he's placed it on some thick paper or something and then just basically set it alight, and the flames are engulfing the apple and reaching up and heading out of the top of the frame there. The position of the apple and the flames is really nice, just sort of off center there towards the left side, and leaving a nice tasteful dark patch to the right. And there's also a sort of a little bit of reflection on what looks like a glass surface of the table or something, and also that just really adds in, you know, a nice touch. It's all in all just a really exquisite image, so congratulations to Jason on third place, very well done. In second place is image M7148, which is a shot called My Flame from Edwin C., real name Edwin Collingridge. This is another stunning image from Edwin, who, if you remember, scooped first place in the low perspective and simplicity assignments. Great to see you consistently creating winning images, Edwin, and this is certainly another one of them. Edwin has shot his wife's eye very close up with what looks like probably a 100mm macro lens. And in the pupil is two lit candles, linking back to the fire theme. We can see from the notes that the subject is lit only by the light from the candles, so hats off to Edwin's wife for staying still under the circumstances. The depth of field and detail is amazing, and you know, the clarity of the candles reflected in the eye, just perfect. The skin tones are very warm, probably because of that candle light, but you know, the crop, everything, it's all just comes together really well. I've been trying to get my other half to do a close-up of her eye for years, so I'm actually quite envious of Edwin for more reasons than just getting a great shot here. Anyway, trying not to digress, congrats on the second place, Edwin, and it really is just a wonderful image. So let's now take a look at the winning image for this really pretty difficult assignment. With M7142 scooping first place for the third time is HQ's Bud or Forest Tanaka with flame number 19. Firstly, I have to say before we even look at Forrest's image that I love the name. I number images myself a lot, especially when I have a series to upload. But this single study named in this way really reminds me of Edward Weston's Pepper number 30. I don't know if this was intentional. Hopefully Forrest will be able to let us know later. But I really can just imagine Forrest working away, shooting lots of frames in a bid to take the fire, to photograph the fire in just the way that it really is necessary to meet his high standards and to satisfy the artist, just as Edward Weston would have done, shooting pepper after pepper in a bid to catch one in just the right way. So I can see from the EXIF data that Forrest has used an 11mm focal length with a shutter speed of 1/4000th of a second at ISO 800. So he's obviously been doing a lot, plenty of trial and error and sort of really narrowing down the effect to get this really quite spectacular result. On the image itself, the visual side of the image itself, the first thing that hits me is that it's black and white, turning the warm flames into a series of cold, ghostly forms against a pure black background. There are a lot of flames. I can count possibly 13 different flames and then one large flame that was sort of broken away to the top of the shot, the top of the frame there, in the center of the image. They're all, pretty good-sized flames. Especially the flame to the right, and that's really just beautiful. It spreads out horizontally to the top there, across the top of the frame. But then the left side, as we look at it, sort of reaches back across to meet the 11th flame, as though it's really sort of alive and maybe even just doing a kind of sinister dance in the dark. So truly amazing work as usual, Forrest. Well done, and congratulations on another first place. So moving on to the next assignment, with all of the information that Landon Michelson's given us recently, I figured that it would be good for us to try our hands at some long exposures. Now, before you start to panic thinking about the fact that you don't have a neutral density filter, things like this, I should say that I'm not necessarily talking about multiple minutes or maybe not even multiple seconds. I think that the person that wins is probably going to have shown that they've controlled exposure using existing equipment. That could be maybe just even a PL filter and a smallish aperture at the right time of day to get some nice slow shutter speeds, resulting in a nice artistic image. As usual, we'll take a quick look at some of my examples. I've picked out a few from my online gallery, and obviously I'll be shooting for this myself as well, but a few that I have to date that we can just take a quick look at now before we start to wrap up. But let's first take a look at image number 1100. This was shot in the summer of 2006 in Hokkaido with a shutter speed of 0.5 seconds, so not very long at all. Although I'd shot flowing water a number of times, it was around this time when I myself decided that I was going to start to use the passage of time to include some movement in my shots. There was a nice breeze, and I figured that if I used a small aperture and a neutral density filter, I could probably get some nice results, and I actually prefer a different shot from this in this series, but this one was the longest shutter speed at 0.5 seconds, so I figured that I'd use this as an example. I'd set my camera up right in front of the barley so that I could catch it blowing in the breeze and record the movement. I actually stopped down the aperture to f22 for this, but I have to admit that since seeing the effects that apertures below f16 have with most lenses, they start to lose sharpness. I try now not to go down much below f16 unless I'm really stuck for a slow shutter speed. Of course, if you do have a neutral density filter, you may be able to keep your lens set to a wider aperture such as f8, which is usually the sharpest aperture for most lenses, or f11 to f16. Also, if your camera has an ISO 50 setting, you could try that, which will, of course, make your shutter speed half that of the one that you'd need if you were using ISO 100. Another option, of course, is to shoot when the available light is low. Image number 984 is one such image that I shot for one of our previous assignments. Here I used a 13-second shutter speed with an ND8 neutral density filter to get all three of the traffic lights exposed at the same level and seemingly sort of turned on at the same time. Of course, this meant that all of the cars that passed by during that time left trails on the image from their lights. For this particular image, I used an aperture of f9 and had changed my ISO to 50. Another example where I waited for the light to dim might be image number 1223, where we can see some somewhat ghostly Japanese Red Crown cranes in Hokkaido during my December 2006 visit. Now, this again is actually not all that long a shutter speed at just 1/25th of a second, but definitely looks long because of the movement in the wings of the cranes. And the reason I'm using this as an example is to emphasize, I guess, that you don't really need to use incredibly long shutter speeds, but I think this is not maybe not a great example, but I thought I'd throw it in anyway just for some extra ideas. And, you know, if the other thing really here is if you wait for the light, you know, this was right at the end of twilight and I had had to actually raise the ISO to 800 and was shooting at f5.6 at 260mm with my 100 to 400mm lens. So I was actually struggling to even get enough light for this shot. But, you know, at this time of day, had I been shooting something a little bit different, I would have probably, you know, got a much longer shutter speed. So that's really, I guess, what I'm trying to get at with this example. And I have an example of that. A similar time is when I shot image number 1438, in which we can see one of my favorite shots from 2007 of the Tatsuzawa Falls. That was from back in May. Here I was obviously using a slow shutter speed to make the water blur into that silky dreamy look. This was shot in the last minutes of twilight again, so as the light was low, I didn't have to use a neutral density filter, even to get a shutter speed of 2.5 seconds at f11, and that was with ISO 200. I had of course timed my visit for when those nice fresh green leaves were there on the in the tree in front of the falls, as some of you will remember from the podcast in which I described my adventures here. Take a listen to episode 88 if you want to hear more about that but didn't catch that particular episode. Anyway, these are just a few examples. As usual, I'm expecting you guys to surprise me with all of your inventive applications of the theme, which is, again, as usual, open to your own own interpretation. My crane shot may not have been a great example, but the shutter speed there is not that important. But you know, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that, you know, if you want to go some really long exposures, that's great. But also, you know, I think that you could probably get a good effect without going crazy if that's how you wanted to do it. I personally think I'm going to try and go for some really long exposures and see what I can get. So remember that Landon also provided us with a PDF that is available via this podcast feed, and that has a chart on exposure times and how they're affected by various filters. So if you haven't grabbed a copy of that yet, I suggest you do. And also remember that if you are shooting in dark conditions, don't let your camera sort of falsely brighten up the image unless that is in line with your artistic vision. Some dark scenes will be, you know, they're really meant to stay dark. So, you know, you'll need to set your exposure accordingly. Remember that your submission for the assignment has to have been shot after the release of this podcast. So check the date on your camera and make sure that it's accurate and start shooting. The assignment gallery will be open until the end of the 20th of January 2008, at which time we'll lock the gallery and turn on the voting system. Voting will go on for 2 further weeks until the end of February the 3rd, And note that there are also other rules and guidelines for the assignment, which are detailed in a forum post. So please take time to familiarize yourself with that before shooting to avoid disappointment if your image doesn't meet the requirements. I'll link to the post in the show notes, or sort of, you know, you can just go along to the top of the assignments forum at martinbaileyphotography.com and look for it yourself. As usual, I will award a prize of an original print of your choice to the winner, made from any image in my online gallery at martinbaileyphotography.com, on the paper of your size and the size of your, you know, the size of your choice from the pull downs there. Here is the cool thing though: we have been accumulating votes for a year, and you know, we have like a, what I was trying to make a yearly grand prize, and you know, the like last year, well, earlier this year, if you remember, we closed the first year that went just over a year with a camera bag, a great camera bag from Lowepro, and this time, you know, the timing has meant that we're going to be one assignment short. We'll have had five assignments. They take 2 months each, so it will only have been 10 months. But at this time, I've teamed up with DXO Labs to get the person with the most votes at the end of this assignment a copy of DXO Optic Pro version 5, that's the new one, and their film pack. This will be provided, as I say, to the person with the most votes for the five assignments that will end, which at the end of this one that we're kicking off today, on long exposure. So let's really take this seriously. You can actually go in, if you look, I'll put a link into the show notes, but also you can see what the accumulated scores are so far by selecting current photo assignment winners and scores from the bottom of the gallery menu at my website. Like I say, though, I will put a link to that in the show notes as a reminder. But take a look, it's close. There's a few people at the top. And also, you know, this is one of the things that I've said before. It's not always the people that consistently win that, you know, that have are in with the best chance. It's, you know, they're there, of course, but, you know, you don't have to take first place each time. Just produce consistently good images that get a lot of votes, and that all mounts up, and that's where we are right now. So it's going to be really interesting to see this pan out over the next 2 months as we get the, you know, the votes in. And it, you know, really, I'm just excited that I have been able to get a great sponsor for us again this time. I am going to be inserting a short passage for each of the following sort of eight or so podcasts as we move towards the announcement of the winner. But basically, you know, that next week I'm going to be aiming to actually do a review podcast in which I'll go through the DXO Optics Pro version 5 package and hopefully also the film pack in the same podcast and give my own feedback on this great tool. I have had a play with it, and here's the passage, as you'll notice. DXO Optics Pro sets the standard for automatic correction of your digital images. Based on extensive analysis of cameras and lenses, this award-winning software enables photographers to improve hundreds of images quickly, saving time and providing spectacular results. Version 5 of DXO Optics Pro runs on Mac and Windows. Version 5, which has only just been released, incorporates a new generation RAW converter, providing more details and less noise artifacts for a new level of image quality. And I have to say that I've downloaded it from, you know, they've given me a copy and I've installed it, and I'm very impressed. It's really good results. And like I say, I'll go into much more detail next week, hopefully next week, I'm pretty sure I'll be able to do this next week. And then, you know, hopefully you'll enjoy that and it'll help you to sort of spur you on to provide a, or to upload a really good image for the long exposures competition, or the, well, it's not a competition, assignment, but when you have a prize like this, I really feel like calling it a competition. So that's really it. Let's call it a day for today. Not your usual podcast, but you know, this, I think that we have a lot of long ones. It's often nice to just sort of have an easy week as well. So congratulations to all of the winners of the assignment. Look forward to seeing what you come up with for the next. And thanks to all of those that participated in the assignment but didn't get quite enough votes to get into the top three. Believe me, your shots were all great. So, you know, please don't feel down if you weren't voted right at the top there. So that's it for this week. Thanks very much again to everybody that got involved in the fire assignment. It's always great to see people sort of participating and getting involved and contributing to this great community. I wanted a quick mention, just as a forewarning, that the forum software that we use right now is an oldish version of PHPBB. And I saw something in my RSS feed today that the gold version, the final version of PHPBB3, is going to be available in 3 days' time. And this is something that I've been waiting for a long time. I believe there's a number of features that we'll be able to really enjoy in the forum, and they'll help us out. I've not played around with the beta version because I know basically that if I did, I would probably not be able to resist making it public, you know, actually going live with that one, and that's not what I wanted to do with a piece of beta software. Some would argue that I probably don't want to go live straight away with version 3, but it's been in beta for so long now that I'm pretty confident that it's going to be a great piece of software. So thanks to everyone in the PHPBB community for making that available, and I'm really looking forward to getting upgraded. And that's the part that I wanted to mention, because I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to download it when I get some time, maybe over the Christmas holidays, and then sort of, you know, create the customized theme for it based on the colors and things that we use in the martinbaileyphotography.com website. And then, you know, if it looks as though we can get it uploaded in a way, what I'll do is I'll probably have to take the forum down for a short while to actually get the databases upgraded and everything. But hopefully it will be relatively seamless, hopefully relatively painless, and we'll be able to be up and running with the new forum software by the new year. I'm not going to commit to do that because, you know, I've got the new camera and lots of shooting to do as well. And, you know, hopefully I'll be able to spend a lot more time shooting than messing around with the website over the Christmas holidays. But, you know, you never know. If I can find time to do it, that's another one of the things on my list to get done. A quick word about the Hokkaido workshop. Remember, if you are interested, it would be great if you could sort of get your place booked. Everything else is now booked, and I have to add each person individually as they come along now. But of course, I don't mind doing that. I'd rather have more numbers. But the longer you wait, the more likely it is that I will not be able to get you into the hotels and things, and maybe even not be able to get to a flight. So I'd have to end up refunding your fee. So to avoid disappointment, if you are thinking of that, you know, please do sign up, which basically means paying for the workshop via the links to PayPal on the mbpworkshops.com website. And that's about it for today. So I guess the only thing really that remains to be said is you have a great week, whatever you're doing, and I'll speak to you again next week. Bye-bye.
PhotoCastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotoCastNetwork.com.